Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, I'm Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions today. Heidi asks, I'm wanting to build a capsule wardrobe for winter. How do I go about choosing a palette to work with? So when we're thinking about a capsule, we want to kind of limit down to a certain extent the number of colours in there, just because it makes it easier. So you want to choose a couple of neutrals, potentially two or three neutrals, and then maybe two or three colours. Now that all work together really well. Of course, if you already have a colour palette, this is so much easier. Let me just grab a colour palette. For example, if you are Serene, which is light and softened, smoky. So what you might do is you might say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose maybe a couple of, you know, two or three greys. They may be the base of my palette. That might be my neutral selection that I am going to go for. And then what I'm going to do is start adding in some colours. Now these colours, it's going to be so much easier if they work together. So this is where you may look at your signature colours. I always recommend build your palette around your signature colours if that is that's your starting place, because those colours are always going to work really well for you. So you may find that you have, a lip enhancer. If you've got, and then you might say, and here is my eye colour, my eye enhancer. And then I'm just going to go for a lighter and darker version, maybe a darker version of that as well. And a lighter version. So, and then you might go, you know what, teal goes with everything, because it really does. It's honestly, teal goes with pretty much everything, and it's because it's that mix of kind of the warm overtone colours and the cool overtone colours. And this is why I say teal, you can pretty much pull everything. So what we might do is we might pop a teal in here as well. So what we've got here would be a really great, if you've got blue eyes, so your pinkish skin and lip, and then we've got a bit of a tealy sort of colour, and then some neutrals. This could be a really easy kind of capsule wardrobe. You can see these colours work together. So I can wear the colours with each other. I can wear the colours with the neutrals. And this is the beauty of the palette, because what I'm doing is I'm mixing like colours together to start with. I'm not mixing unlike colours together. So imagine, and this is why too, is that even if you look at the swatch, I'm not trying to suddenly go, and then I'm going to put, these neutrals in. Suddenly, this doesn't work, does it? These don't go together, but these all go together. So building a capsule becomes incredibly easy when you work within your palette. But these ones work with the colours in the palette. So I could use these as my, some of and then I could add it back with the colours in this palette. So maybe if I had green eyes, and I have a beautiful corally pink lip. And then again, let's pop a teal in just for fun. Because, just as I said before, you can kind of get that tealy colour goes with everything. I kind of get this tealy sort of blue. And what I could do, and then maybe I'll get a darker brown or something just to add a bit more depth in here. And even a marine navy could be another I might do that. Marine navy could be one of my other neutrals. So here what I could do is I could build my wardrobe around these sorts of colours, with a warm. So I could have my navy, and my browns and camels as my neutrals, and then have some colours, in the green, in our kind of beautiful asparagusy olivey green, and then our coral and our turquoisey blue or teal, something like that. So there you go. It doesn't really matter because each of these wardrobes will go with themselves. They just will clash with each other. And that's one of the things to think about is going, when we have a palette, what it does is it gives us boundaries. It gives us a kind of a starting place and a guide to follow. Now, it's not a be-all and end-all that the 50 colours in here are not the only colours you can choose, but as long as the colours go with this, then you can wear it. But you can just see these two people are not wearing the same wardrobes and they would build their capsules very differently. So I always recommend when you are starting to build a wardrobe from scratch, if you have to rebuild for any reason, whether it's a lifestyle change, whether it's a location change, whether it's a weight change or body change in some way, and you are rebuilding your wardrobe, think about starting with your signature colours because those colours will always be the best of you. And of course, signature colours do change over time, particularly if hair colour changes and things like that, but they do change over time, just as palettes can change as well. But that would be the place to start. You're going to get a cohesive wardrobe that really works well with you when you do that. And this is why I do signature colours as part of colour consultations, because it's such an important element of that experience. And then building your wardrobe, it just makes life so, so, so much easier when we are building with palettes that actually work with us. And you can see immediately that, which would I want to build my wardrobe out of? It's not this one, is it? This is the one you see the colours first. Here, they relate to me. So if it was me, I'd be going this way. Versus someone who's warm, maybe going this way, depending on their colouring. So hopefully that helps you with an idea of where you're going to go and what you're going to start with when you're building your capsule. Next question. Comes from Meg. How to distinguish a warm from a cool blue? Now, I did actually... you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab some swatches here. Now, the more, the more muted a colour is, often the harder it is to distinguish colours and undertone. It's not as easy as when we have brighter colours. But what I've got is sophisticated and enigmatic, and sophisticated is cool and enigmatic is warm. And what you'll notice with the blues is that there is a relationship between the blues at this end and the warm blues, but there is no relationship with these purpley blues and the blues in the warm. So what it is, when we look at the color wheel, when we are looking at the color blue, the more they have this element of green in them, which you can see that these are slightly greener versus these ones have elements of purple in them as well. And so this is why the cool swatches always have more blues than the warm swatches. And it's because they get the purple blues as well as the greeny blues versus the warms only get the greeny blues. But the warms get all the oranges and they get more yellows and there's other colours like that that they get. And they get the yellow greens that the blues don't get because, of course, the more yellow we add to a colour, the warmer it becomes. So really, that's a couple of examples. And then here's in some brighter palettes, you can see too, that we've got these really purpley blues in the warms, as well as the more turquoisey, so the more yellow blues, versus we do not get those purpley blues in the warm swatch. They just always have got this hint of green, hint of teal, hint of turquoise. That's really what you're getting in a warmer blue. So if you are warm, it's staying away from anything that looks purplish. And really looking for it. It wants to have a slightly more tinge of green or teal. Think of it, is it more like teal or turquoise, or is it more like purple? And that will give you that understanding and kind of that thing. But it really is practice. I remember when I did my colour analysis training, blue was the hardest colour for me to distinguish between warm and cool. And that's because it's essentially a cool colour. So learning to distinguish what are the warm versions is trickier. So yeah, I absolutely understand. I do remember having that experience myself when I first did my training. But of course, you know, many years of experience and it's become very easy for me now. But when I started, it was harder. Like any new skill, it takes practice. You didn't learn to walk in a day. You know, you didn't learn any skill that you've acquired. Did not happen overnight. And so therefore expect learning to see colours as something also that takes longer, that it's something that will take a bit of time. And also when I think about colour, it's a bit like, can you sing in tune or not? Now, a lot of people can be taught to sing in tune, but some people are tone deaf and it's never going to happen. Same thing with colour. Our colour perception may depend on how many colour cones we have in our eyes. So there is a variety of numbers of cones. They say it's between, I think it's 6 to 8 million. So if you're at the 6 million end, you may not have the same kind of high level of colour perception as if you have the 8 million cones. Just as in some people can taste things more finely than other people. And the same thing with music, they can hear things more finely, you know, than other people, depending on those perceptions that we have. So part of it may be innate. And of course, there is a thing called colour deficit. And this is where we just are born without one of the cones in our eyes. So we really don't distinguish colour in the same way because we're lacking one of the colour receptors. So it can take time. So I do understand that other people will find it easier than other people, and that you may have an eye for colour. That's one of the things I've discovered, is that I am lucky. I have that very exquisite colour perception, but not everybody does. And this is why this is a fabulous job for me, but it's not right for everybody. Lynn has said, I have a large bust and small facial features. How do I wear larger scale jewellery without overwhelming my features? There is a really easy tip for this. So when we are thinking about upscaling, we can upscale just by wearing one large piece, a solid, dense piece, or we can upscale from wearing something of multiple smaller pieces. And so when you have small facial features, you want to repeat those small elements, but then just have that piece made from multiple small pieces. So it might be multiple strands of small beads. It might be something that's made from multiple little things, not just one big thing. So don't go for the large sized beads or the large sized, you know, pendant, something like that. It needs to be multiple small pieces. The only time you could do it with something like a large scale pendant is where it's filigreed, and potentially that you can see skin through it. Maybe it's cut out. So it could take up more space, but it has space in between. So it feels like it's made from many small pieces. So this is the easiest way to upscale, is go, I need it to take up more space. So it's a larger scale, but it's made from small pieces. Or if you have medium scale features, you can upscale with many medium scale items for your, you know, but into a larger scale that it takes up more area. So there you go. That one's actually a really simple one, quite easy to do. And you'll find that there are many pieces of jewelry that do this for you. One of the things I find that's, you know, it's quite fun to do with a client, and I've done this even for myself, is go into, you know, one day when you can go into a jewelry store or somewhere that, you know, sells lots of kind of costume jewelry, because it's very easy to do this. And then go and try on different size jewelry and have a look at yourself in the mirror. So you're not investing in anything. But go and try lots of things on, and you'll notice, I remember one day, because I've got fairly small facial features too, yet had to wear larger scale jewelry a lot. And I remember one day going in and trying something with these huge beads, and I was just like, oh, it overwhelms me. Versus as soon as I pick something that's a bit smaller, that's not so large, it works reasonably well. It works so much better because you get that balance between what is above the necklace and what is below the necklace as well. So that is the best way of doing it. So if you're interested in finding out more about, like, you know, facial features, scale, you know, colours, signature colours, all those things, they are all in my 7 Steps to Style program. And it really gives you a great base, a great platform to build your style from, which is what I talked about yesterday in my video about how your style is your home and how you want to build that home on firm foundations. And do keep sending me your questions, imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com. And I will pop them into my lucky dip jar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.